This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
So Elon Musk in the Oval Office with President Donald Trump talking about the bureaucracy is the unelected fourth branch and he will respect the courts. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. Busy day. Holy cow. Man. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Great to have you with us today. I appreciate it very, very much. As I always appreciate being here, whether you like it or not. So, thank you. Big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. Do we still have the video paused? I know there's a few minutes left of this. I think it's very important stuff here. I really do. With the president and Elon Musk in the Oval Office. Look, this is one of those things. I don't think this is going to be every day. It wasn't yesterday, but this is a big deal. The Doge stuff, the cutting of all this waste. I think we probably should listen to this. And it's hard for me to not talk. And my job is to talk, obviously. And frankly, what is it? It's Margaret, I don't care. What was the quote from J.D. Vance? Do you remember?
I don't give a damn. I think it was, quite frankly, Margaret, I don't care.
I think we're combining Scarlet, frankly, Scarlet, I don't give a damn with Margaret, I don't care. So why don't we just say it as, frankly, Margaret, I don't give a damn, attributed to J.D. Vance. So if your comments are like, don't talk, talk, you know, I mean, I don't give a damn. I'm trying my best here. I don't know what I'm doing. You don't know what I'm doing. All right, let's jump back in here to the president and Elon Musk in the Oval Office.
The Treasury, Secretary of State, whatever, doesn't have the right to go over their books and make sure everything's honest. I mean, how can you have a country? You can't have anything that way. You can't have a business that way. You can't have a country that way. Hey, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Oh, all right. Well, that was it.
Marco will be at the White House tonight at about 10 o'clock. If you want to come over, you can say hello to him.
Did you guys give anything in return?
Not much. No, they were very nice. We were treated very nicely by Russia, actually. I hope that's the beginning of a relationship where we can end that war and millions of people can stop being killed. They've lost millions of people. They lost, in terms of soldiers, probably 1.5 million soldiers in a short period of time. We got to stop that war. And I'm interested primarily from the standpoint of death. We're losing all those soldiers. And they're not American soldiers. They're Ukrainian and Russian soldiers. But you're probably talking about 1.5 million. I think we got to bring that one to an end. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Thank
you.
10 o'clock
tonight at the White House.
All right, there we go. That's the president, Elon Musk, talking about a lot of things. One of the key things, too, that I think was very, very important to note about that was the president saying we always respect the courts. Look, it's like what I said to you at the beginning of the show today. Okay, federal judges are not the absolute authority here, and administrations, Republicans and Democrat, have ignored federal judges as they proceed through the court system. Biden did it all the time, and he was technically in contempt of court all the time, but these issues tend to get resolved. But I didn't hear any outrage about that when Biden was ordered by federal judges to give out drilling permits, and he did not. I didn't hear anyone calling a constitutional crisis. They were just like, well, it's playing out in the courts. But the president said today, we always respect the courts, but it slows down the momentum. But ultimately, the Supreme Court of the United States decides this. The other point I made in my opening monologue was that we have to always respect the ruling of the Supreme Court, whether it's our guy or not, because you have some people out there in social media who are saying that Trump should pull an Andrew Jackson, and they're quoting when President Jackson said that the Chief Justice has made his ruling, but now let's see him enforce it. But that's not the whole story of Andrew Jackson. And what I hate very often is when people who don't know their history come up with a nugget and then try to alter the course of American history and don't understand what a terrible precedent they're setting. If a president of the United States ignores the Supreme Court, then we don't have a republic anymore, because unfortunately, this is the system we have. Now, look, I've read Men in Black, which is Mark Levin's excellent book on the Supreme Court, and the question of how we deal with these reprobate justices. But we have a court now, thank God, a Trump court. I think the answer is we deal with the court by elections, by electing a president who's going to appoint originalist justices to the Supreme Court. And for everything you want to criticize about Mitch McConnell, and I have a long list, he did usher through all of Trump's justices to the Supreme Court. We have an originalist, textualist Supreme Court. It's not always going to go in our favor, but we have to go with that, because that's just the nature of it. And so because the other point of Andrew Jackson was when the state of South Carolina tried to use nullification and the Supreme Court stepped in, he said the rule of the Supreme Court has to be final. So, but that doesn't get the traction that the other quote that Andrew Jackson said after the case regarding the Indians in Georgia does. Anyway, Trump said we always respect the rule of the courts. So for all of the histrionics out there about the constitutional crisis and all of the hysteria, what do you say to that? Are you going to issue an apology tonight, Caitlin Collins? Because I played that earlier in the show today. Caitlin Collins saying we have a constitutional crisis. Are you going to issue an apology? And by the way, it makes me very, very happy that the president, of course, says he respects the courts. But I know he always does. He always did in his first term. He did. President Trump respected the courts. President Trump respected the fact that he lost the election and he left the White House. The man's not a dictator, and it's just annoying at this point to listen to people call him a dictator. And I said to you, which is true, as these cases go through the federal court system, a federal judge will put a stay on it. Another federal judge will say, go ahead and go for it while it's being adjudicated through the courts. And so it's not you're defying the judiciary. The judiciary is a process leading up to the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And it is very common for things to keep going until there's a final definitive ruling. It happens all the time in the judicial system. Pending an appeal, this can keep going. Pending appeal, this can, it happens all the time. So, the case is on appeal. So in the meantime, the person's free. As this case is on appeal, then the president may proceed. It's a daily occurrence. But I think the bigger story is the fact that you have justices who are trying to undermine the executive. And, of course, that is not viewed by the left as a constitutional crisis. These executives, these justices, or excuse me, judges, have no authority to overturn the will of the executive when it concerns the executive branch of government. A long-standing precedent on that, and the United States Supreme Court is going to affirm that this is just a waste of everybody's time. It's what it is. It's a waste of everybody's friggin' time. That's the truth. So, there you go. And, you know, the Washington Post, the stupid headline from the Washington Post, a grave implication from J.D. Vance on rulings from judges. Vance's point was the judges can't authorize the military. A judge can't order the military to strike. The judge can't influence a war. There's supposed to be restraint here. I love the fact that when it is a Republican president, then suddenly the left is all in on the courts, trying to do everything they can to stop him. When the court overturned Roe v. Wade in the Dobbs decision, and the left was screaming about the illegitimacy of the Supreme Court, how the court needs to have, what did Cory Booker say, Count Grandstangelo, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage Band, like 17 people on it to reflect America, meaning that we can have a mini super legislature that will get through all the crap we can't get through Congress. And we'll put enough people on there and stack the deck that we'll win every case. But they hounded judges, the justices of the Supreme Court. They harassed them. One of them was nearly killed. They were protesting in their neighborhoods, which is a violation of federal law because you're not supposed to intimidate the court or jurors for that matter. And nobody cared. The Biden administration didn't do a damn thing to stop it. And then when the court ruled in Dobbs, we heard all the screams from the left about the illegitimate Supreme Court. So give me a break. Give me a freaking break with the hysteria and the gnashing of teeth. And this is what I mean about the left. I've told you, you've learned nothing. They've learned nothing because this is where they continue to lose. Because instead of being a party, it's trying to win back white working class voters, which is the group that they've lost in big numbers, in addition to black voters and Latino voters. But white working class voters, which made up the base, uneducated white working class voters, was the key base of the Democrat Party. Instead of trying to win them back, they're screaming about Trump being a dictator again. This doesn't work. It doesn't work. It didn't work for them, too. Oh, yeah. Thank you. This is a great flashback. Let me put on my glasses for this. Remember this the next time a Democrat tries to claim that Trump or Elon Musk are breaking the law by ignoring judges' orders to rehire terminated government workers or unfreeze billions of dollars in spending for DEI projects in USAID. Joe Biden tweeting out the following, quote, "The Supreme Court tried to block me from relieving student debt, but they didn't stop me. I've relieved student debt for over 5 million Americans. I'm going to keep going." Yes, Ian Miles Chong, thank you for that reminder. And Matt, thank you for sending that to me. Great point. So literally, we have an example here of a president who was told by the United States Supreme Court, Joe Biden, your student loan debt repayment program is unconstitutional. It exceeds the authority of the executive to spend. This is a legislative priority. You don't have the ability to do this. What did Biden do? He told the court to go F themselves. Sorry, Sue Alberici, but, you know. And he did it anyway. He did it anyway, and he proceeded, and he bragged about ignoring the Supreme Court. So give me a break when I hear the left scream about constitutional crises. Where was Caitlin Collins? You know, play it again. Now I'm all fired up. Now I'm really fired up. Play Caitlin Collins again for me, please. I don't know the number. I can't find the show sheet, but you know what it is. The one about her whining about a constitutional crisis. Can we play that?
We are 3 weeks into the second Trump presidency, 3 weeks, and tonight there are warnings that the U.S. is dangerously close to a constitutional crisis. Now, the first shoe on this dropped when a federal judge today said the White House is defying his order to unfreeze billions of dollars in federal aid, marking the first time that we've had a judge expressly accuse the Trump administration of ignoring a court ruling. And in a separate case today, federal employees here in Washington told a judge that the administration was defying another order by not reinstating workers who had been put on leave. Now, this all has prominent Democrats and many of the nation's top constitutional scholars declaring that the U.S. is on the brink of a reckoning. The Trump Justice Department says the president should have the authority to decide how to run the government and that these judges are overreaching. And some of the president's allies say the judges should not be judging any of the moves to shrink the federal government.
You know, I didn't hear her talk about the constitutional crisis when Joe Biden literally told the Supreme Court to go blank themselves, okay? I didn't hear that from Caitlin Collins. And by the way, you know, Alyssa Finley, who's a very talented writer, wrote a great piece about how Hamilton, you know, there's a play about Hamilton. Apparently he was something in the government very, very long time ago. And he sang. Apparently he was a great singer, and so they made a Broadway show about him. I guess he was an entertainer back then. Anyway, Hamilton would smile at Trump's push for accountability. Energy in the executive entails the authority to impose consequences for poor performance. So, you know, I saw the play Hamilton, and they have, like, their snarky little comments in there about Trump. You know what I mean? Like, their snarky little comments about... Because and it annoyed me when I watched. I liked the play. I did. I enjoyed it. But I didn't like the snarky little anti-Trump comments. And they did this the first time around. They did, because I saw it right after Trump won the presidency. And there were like little snarky little comments. You know what I mean? But Hamilton would applaud Trump's push for accountability. And I don't know what he did after his acting and singing career ended. But he was a very talented singer and an actor, apparently, based on what I saw on the play, based on what I saw on the show. Matt, do you know what Hamilton did in his professional when he wasn't acting and singing and dancing? Do you know?
I think he ended up being the first Treasury Secretary, but that's not really that important.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, no.
Oh, well, I mean, it's not like he wrote the Federalist Papers or anything like that.
No.
You know what I mean, he wasn't an author, you know. So, like, not going to be that impressed. Not you wrote in the federal. You. What, he, oh, he did? It was him and Matt?
Yeah, but in fairness, he got a lot of help from Madison and John Jay, so.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. In fact, I think he's known as the lesser founding father until that play came around. Well. I'm just saying, I was always team Thomas Jefferson. I thought a central bank was also going to be very bad for America, and look how it worked out for us. So I think TJ was right on that point. I'm just saying he and Hamilton didn't exactly see eye to eye to a lot of things, apparently, allegedly. I think Thomas Jefferson saw Hamilton and wrote him a note and said, "You suck." I believe that that may not be historically accurate. And I don't know if the play was around back then, but I do think that Thomas Jefferson would have said that if he had the chance to do that. You know what I mean? So, if he was in the room where it happened, he would have said to Hamilton, "Boy, you can't dance," you know? So,
Hamilton should have stuck to the stage and stayed away from duels, I think.
Yeah. Oh, was he in a sword fight? Did that happen?
Yeah, yes, it was swords. Yeah, sorry, yes.
Oh.
The famous sword fight between him and Aaron Burr.
Oh, that's right. He died at a rest stop in New Jersey, didn't he?
Yeah, it was in Weehawken.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah, he was. They were going to go out in Hoboken for the night and party, and then they got drunk and had a sword fight. I forgot. They had a duel.
We've all been there.
Yeah. Well, that happens. Was it a sword fight or was it? Did they shoot each other? I forget. How that? Oh, yeah, it was a gun. Right. It was a gun, not a sword. Yeah, it was a gun. Oh, well. Hey, Hamilton. You know what I mean?
Are you sure it was a gun? I thought it was like rock, paper, scissors or something.
Somebody listening right now is just not going to get any of the sarcasm of this entire segment and just completely never turn into the show again.
I'm waiting for my angry email.
Yeah. Tell Scioli, Hamilton was one of the most consequential founding fathers. He's not an actor. The play is about him. Okay. Got it. Chill out. Calm down, all right? Got it. And by the way, that guy Madison, his wife made mean ice cream. Am I right? Am I right, Dolly Madison? Huh? To this day, I think, is that what she's known for? I'm telling you, we live in the dumbest time ever. We really do. The dumbest time. It is dumb. But anyway. All right. What else do we have? So, yeah. So anyway, so if you're a lefty and you love the play Hamilton, Hamilton would be cheering on what President Trump is doing. And if you don't believe me, read Federalist number 70. It's in the Federalist Papers, which is a book where the three of them wrote these letters to the people to advocate for the new Constitution. And guess what they used? Pseudonyms. You know why? Because they didn't want to get killed. That's why. Which is also why I tell you all the time, we need to have anonymity online. Well, I got to take this under. I see I got this blue shirt on underneath. I got to take this off. I'm all fired up now. I'm all hot because of all the people that don't know our history in this country and all the people that scream constitutional crisis and they ignore Biden ignoring the Supreme Court and then bragging about it. What a bunch of phonies. You know what I mean? Honestly. Freaking phonies. I got all kinds of stuff for you from, we got to get Justin Goodman on from the White Coast Waste Project, White Coat Waste Project. You want to talk to me about waste and abuse and fraud? Oh my God, it keeps coming. The hits keep coming here. So, yeah, apparently Aaron Burr shot him. That was quite rude, if you ask me. If you ask me, Aaron Burr, that was uncalled for. All right? Okay? That was rude. Didn't Madison also write the Bill of Rights, but was credited to Jefferson? No. It's complicated, Kevin. I don't have time to get into this right now. Look, Jefferson spent a lot. I'm just going to skip that. I'm not going to get into this right now. This is not a history class. I'm going to just. Yes. Gary Stam on the YouTube chat. Dolly Madison, cherry vanilla ice cream. I think that is her claim to fame. That and saving all the paintings in the White House when the British burned down the place. So
I like cherry ice cream a lot. So she,
I mean, yeah. Who doesn't, right? Who doesn't? Hamilton has a mall in New Jersey. Sure. Very good. Thomas Jefferson was not the OG Democrat. That Democrat Party is not the same Democrat Party as it is today. Trust me. They hate Thomas Jefferson. They hate him. All right. We got a lot more to come. You know who's going to come on the show? I'm very excited about Captain John Hoyt of the FOP. We're going to talk about the national FOP. They're backing Kash Patel for the FBI. This is exciting stuff. I'm really excited to have him back on the show. He's a great friend. A little bit later in the show, we're going to get into Trump's agenda with Phil Kirpin. AJ Rice is going to join us. We're loaded up today. We got a lot of stuff. Obviously, President Trump eating into a lot of it today with the Oval Office, but that's okay. That's how we roll. I want to thank the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey for sponsoring this happy hour, because I am very, very happy that President Trump is cutting government and holding government accountable. It makes me happy. You'll be happy when you book your summer vacation at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. It's never too early to book for summer, so do it today, okay? And I'm thrilled that Mark Fogel's coming home. Best news of the day. I am so happy about that. And thanks to Dr. Mike Veneria for being a great, great friend of the show and my dentist. Now, I know what you're thinking to yourself. You're like, Rich, all right, but Dr. Mike now, I got a dentist close to me. Why should I go to him? Great question. Because when it comes to your smile, it's incredibly important. It's really important, no matter what you're choosing for your health care, that you go to the best. Trust me on this with the foot. I wish to God I'd gone to Cooper. I didn't. I'm paying the price for that now. Dr. Mike is a dentist that's so well regarded among his peers as a master of implant dentistry that they send their patients to him for complicated dental work, like implants, for example. So reach out to Dr. Mike today by going to VeneriaDental.com with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, right over the bridge. It's worth the trip. Plus, you know, the whole Zioli family goes to him, and we love the people that work there. They're incredibly gracious people. And I also love the fact that Dr. Mike puts pride in everything he does. He's a great guy. So make your appointment today at VeneriaDental.com. And before I take a break, I just want to give a big birthday shout out to a great guy, Anthony Mongo. Mr. Mongo owns Mongo's Tires in Delran. I have been a friend of the Mongo family for a long time. He's a great guy. He gives back so much to the community, and he's a great friend of the show. So, Anthony Mongo, God bless you today, buddy. I won't give out your age, but you're a great guy. Your daughter Nikki's a wonderful, wonderful person and a wonderful friend. And so, happy birthday, my friend. God bless. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, joining me now, and I'm very, very happy to have him back on the show. You know him as one of Philadelphia's own. He's a captain in the Philadelphia Police Department.
Recording in progress.
Let me start that again. So joining us now, one of Philadelphia's own, you know him as a great friend of the show, captain in the Philadelphia Police Department, but the national second vice president of the national FOP. Of course, I'm talking about our friend John Hoyt. Welcome back to the show, my man.
Thank you, my friend. It's been way too long, and it's just great to see you again.
It's great to see you. National Second Vice President of the National Fraternal Order of Police, which currently represents more than 373,000 members. We're proud of you. The city's proud of you. Philadelphia, you represent us very, very well. And you know President Trump. I mean, you guys backed him. You guys helped. And this is great stuff.
Yeah, you know what was interesting when we met with him this past summer was we were each introduced as our position and what town we were from, what city we were from. And as soon as I said Philadelphia, he knew exactly kind of everything we go through here in the city, what our challenges are from a law enforcement perspective, and what's going on in Philadelphia. He had his finger on the pulse of what's going on here. So it was interesting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he gave us a lot of time. We were in his office for well over an hour with his now chief of staff, very receptive. And that led to some really huge things, consequential things happening for us already and our membership nationwide.
Excellent. I saw today that the National Fraternal Order of Police put out a letter backing Kash Patel for the next director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, next FBI director. That's a big deal. I mean, to get the endorsement of the National FOP and your 373,000 plus members is huge.
Yeah, correct. And, you know, we met with him and we're confident that he can do the job well. But we have a very important or large interest in who takes over that job. Mm-hmm. We recognize how much overspending the federal government does on a variety of different issues. And we know that this next administration is going to curb that and get spending under control. For a local law enforcement officer, what does that mean for us? You know, a lot of local departments are funded through federal grants and federal programs. So it's important that we have a voice in that process. It's important that we have someone that's going to be receptive to hear our wants and needs. And we think that he's a good fit for that. And that, you know, a lot of our jurisdictions really need that federal funding and grants and to be effective in crime fighting. So we're confident he's going to be good for that and good for us. And very sharp individual, obviously. And, you know, the FBI, there's a lot of great people there. I've been lucky enough to work with a lot of them here in Philadelphia specifically. And the partnerships we had when they were focused on crime fighting, some of the best in the business, they were able to take jobs that I had worked on, investigations I'd cleared, and then they had the time and resources to continue that investigation and make sure everybody that involved in the crime was held accountable, and also make sure they were federally prosecuted, which leads to much longer, much more significant jail prison time for violent offenders. So the FBI is a very important organization for big cities like Philadelphia because they have capabilities we don't have.
Yeah.
But when they're not focused on investigating and enforcing crime, violent crime, narcotics, you know, things we think of or used to think of when we thought about the FBI, you know, it's kind of a waste of their talent, their resources. So we're happy that we feel that someone's going to lead them back in the direction of actually fighting crime.
Yeah, John Hoyt, you know, it's a waste of their resources. It's also antithetical to the purpose of the FBI. The weaponization of government. And obviously, you know, this comes from the top, raiding Mar-a-Lago, which, you know, you were at Mar-a-Lago this summer, not in the capacity of, you know, raiding it, but they were last summer. And, you know, they went through Melania's underwear drawer, which we all can, you know, kind of understand. But so wrong. I mean, in every way, shape and form. And this is why Kash Patel has to get in there to change that, redirect it to a law enforcement agency, because let's face it, they have a very poor opinion rating right now. The American people are not happy about this weaponization, from Merrick Garland targeting parents at school board meetings and Catholics and people praying at abortion clinics. So this it has to go back to a crime-fighting agency. And let's face it, there's no shortage of criminals out there. We know that. And it's amazing how something happens. We always go, oh, they were on the FBI's radar. Why didn't they do anything about it? Why did they know about it? We got to redirect those resources. So you're confident Kash Patel will do it. That's great to hear.
Yeah, I think he really is. He understands that. And again, know some really, really sharp FBI agents. And you know what they tell me behind the scenes, what they want to do? They want to investigate crime.
Yeah, like,
that's
sure.
why they joined the FBI. You know, the last thing they wanted to get involved in is political games or political power moves. I mean, those men and women want to take the bad people off the street. So, yeah, I think it's much needed. And I think it'll restore a lot of faith in it, too, because, you know, when you see them doing it to, you know, Trump or other significant people, I mean, who's to say they're not going to do it to you, right?
Exactly.
If they can do it to them, they can do it to any of us. And we've witnessed a little bit of that. So, yeah, the redirection's needed. We're looking forward to it. And looking forward to working with them.
John Hoyt, have you had any conversations with Tom Homan regarding the border and sanctuary cities? I mean, obviously, we all remember when the former mayor, Jim Kenney, did that fat man, white man's over by dance in the hallway. You know, we are a sanctuary city. Yeah. Where are we with all that? And have you had any conversations with the new border czar?
I have not personally. I can tell you, around the time the mayor did that dance and declared us a sanctuary city, I was still on the street as a lieutenant. And, you know, I'll give you one story. I can't go into all the details, but we had identified someone that was responsible for a rash of crimes in the neighborhood we were patrolling. We didn't have enough to arrest him, but we knew who he was and found out that he had a detainer warrant. So he was to be deported if he was stopped. But even though we knew he was committing crime, even though we knew he was victimizing Philadelphians, and we knew that if it was a few miles away out in one of the counties, he'd be getting deported and then essentially solving that problem and making our residents safer, there was nothing we could do about it. Mm-hmm. And it was really frustrating. So, you know, I'm all for people coming here the right way and doing things. It makes us a better country, a stronger country. I think it's great. But what's gone on the last four years is completely unsustainable. And it's not right. And it's not right that because someone is from a country nearby that, you know, every time they come in, they're pushing the people that want to immigrate the right way further back in line from other countries that are further away. So, yeah, I think, you know, we're going to see significant reform on that. And I think it's long overdue.
John Hoyt's with me. He's the second national vice president of the Fraternal Order of Police National. This is great. We're proud of him. Captain John Hoyt, Philadelphia's own. Also a big he bleeds green. So have you slept yet?
Not much. I sure do. Season ticket holder, proud Eagles fan. I mean, what a great weekend. You know, I was lucky enough to be in Minnesota when they won the first Super Bowl. I was there.
Yeah.
And but this one, I was at a friend's house with my wife and kids and spent it with my friends and family. And it may have been more fun to just experience it with my kids and watch my wife get into it and everything. It was awesome. It was just... It was hard to fall asleep Sunday night, that's for sure.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, it's great. And everything's just great for us. You know, the news today that Mark Fogel released from Russia. I mean, it just really good things are happening for Pennsylvania. I mean, holy cow, what a week for us to get one of our own freed. The Eagles win the Super Bowl. The parade's on Friday. Here's the real question. Since you're tight with President Trump, are the Eagles going to get the invite to the White House?
I do not know. It wouldn't surprise me because I think he just hosted the NHL champs from last year. So okay. It wouldn't surprise me.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Liz, you know, I mean, if you help a brother out, if it happens, you know what I mean? Because that's good. No, we're proud of you. We really are. It's very, very cool that you are on the national level and advocating for law enforcement. I think that one of the observations from this last Super Bowl, I thought it was very pro-America. No kneeling, none of that crap. You know, it felt good. It was great to hear Sirianni and Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts all thank God after the Super Bowl was over. When they went to the Commander-in-Chief and the crowd went wild, when they went to Taylor Swift, not so much. So, I mean, I loved it. I really did. And then to beat the Chiefs to a pulp, to a bloody pulp, was just the icing on the cake. Am I right?
Oh, it was incredible. It was, I've loved the Eagles my whole life. I always will. But what makes it even sweeter is what a great team of people this is. What an organization of just great human beings too. They're just, you know, they do stuff behind the scenes in the community. You know, when we lose an officer, when we have something significant, you know, they have been there for us every single time.
Really?
Yeah. And you know, in other just in smaller struggles with people, whatever they can do to help out, they've been every time I've talked and dealt with them. They've been a class act organization. So, and it's great. It's our team and to find out that it's also good people. I just couldn't be happier. And dealing with them has been fantastic. Happy for them, happy for the players, the stories, the Saquon story. You know, I have a lot of my college buddies are from North Jersey.
Yeah.
And they're Giants fans.
Yeah.
It's been a great season of just ridiculing them all season.
You know, I was up in New York yesterday. I was at Fox News all day and it's exactly the same. I just kept thanking all of them. I was like, thank you for Saquon Barkley. We really appreciate it, you guys. Thank you so much. It's like he left an abusive relationship, really.
Yeah.
Right? And then he got remarried and now he's happy and he's flourishing.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. yeah, what a story. You know, and good on Jalen Hurts for, you know, all the criticism he's gone through, but all he does is win.
Yeah.
You know, and his mindset. I was in the Eagles locker room once for something, you know, a community event they were helping me out with. And if you look at Jalen Hurts' locker, it's like a Marine's locker. Like every single item is in place, every shirt hung and pressed. He's a very serious, all business guy. And he's the right leader for this team for sure.
And how about Cooper DeJean, man? I mean, this kid is like, it was his 22nd birthday and he scores a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Amazing, right? I mean, what Howie's done in the drafts and some of the free agency, it's just unreal. Like the last draft,
yeah.
You know, what our first and second round picks were, I mean, two rookie starters out of the first, I mean, and Pro Bowl level starters out of the first two rounds, so...
Somebody made a comment to me yesterday about how obnoxious Philadelphia fans are. First of all, I reject that notion that we are obnoxious. I think we're passionate. And I think for people who have lesser teams, they may view it as obnoxious. But we are just passionate. That's how I view it.
100%, Pat. It just means more here, right?
Yeah.
It just does. I mean, I have a friend who lives in Jupiter, Florida. He grabbed Miami Dolphins season tickets. He's an Eagles fan, but he goes, they were $400 a seat for the season. Like,
it's like Little League seats go for more money than that.
Right, right. So, yeah, it means more here. And I think part of that is a testament to, you know, what the Eagles as an organization has done in this community, what they do, and they recognize their significance here. So, yeah, it means more.
Tailgating at an Eagles game, too. Is, I mean, there are people that just tailgate and don't even go into the link. That doesn't usually happen at places, but it happens here.
Yeah, the guys I have tickets with, we do a pretty decent tailgate every game. And sometimes it feels like 50% of the tailgate crowd, they don't even have tickets. They just go down to tailgate. So, yes, game days are great. They really are.
You know, next season, I'm going to come and just hang out with you guys for a tailgate. I don't even need to go into the link. I'll just hang out and then leave. I'll beat the crowd. So I'll just do that. It'll be fun.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. We always have a spot for you. You know that.
I know. And before I let you go, how's morale, the Philadelphia Police Department, as a captain, your new commish? I mean, it seems like I hope morale's better. I hope recruitment numbers start to go up between President Trump, your new commissioner. I hope things are good. I say it all the time, John. I was on Fox News Friday night when the plane crashed. I've said this a million times. The Philadelphia Police Department is, in my opinion, the greatest big city law enforcement department in the entire country. And I mean that sincerely from the bottom of my heart. Philly cops, very special breed, very, very special group of men and women who wear the uniform. I'm incredibly proud of them. I hope their morale is picking up because I know it's been a very rough couple years for them.
Yeah, it has been. It's been challenging, but I agree with you. I couldn't be prouder to serve with these men and women. And as I travel around the country, I meet a lot of great police officers. But I just think there's something different once you put on our uniform and work our streets.
Yeah.
And you just look at the last month, what our department's gone through, right? We had the crash, which was horrible. And I think we had over 400 officers respond and involved in that scene. You had the NFC Championship and everything afterwards, and Sunday night and everything afterwards, which, you know, most of the people there were doing it the right way and having fun. And we recognize that as a department. It's not like we say go home right away. We give them some time to celebrate. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we are shorthanded. I mean, while most of us got to watch the game at home with our friends and family, they canceled days off. And our police officers answered the call and went and did the job. They did it Sunday. They did it at the NFC Championship. They continue to do it. But I do think morale's improving. I think, some of the things that the commissioner has done. I mean, he grew up in this department. He spent a long time here as a leader, you know, so he recognizes what's important and is recognizes the importance of morale in this department. So, yeah, I think, you know, but the challenges are there. Recruitment, you know, we're getting people in, but we're just, you know, we're at a point where we have a lot of officers that are retirement eligible, that have done their duty, that have earned their retirement. So, you know, but this is a problem nationwide. It's actually worldwide. We're seeing law enforcement, and some places have it worse than we do. But we continue to get new people to answer the call. So I hope that corrects even more soon, you know, that we continue to get more. But we'll see. But the men and women that are here aren't giving up, and they show up every single day and night and do the job.
Well, God bless each and every one of them. Please convey that to all of them for me, Captain, if you would. And you stay safe, and hope everybody stays safe. And thank you for representing our city with such pride at the National FOP. Second National Vice President of the National Fraternal Order of Police, Captain John Hoyt. Thanks, buddy. Always great to see you. God bless, pal.
Always a pleasure. Great talking to you.
And ELGLES.
Something like that.
See you, man.
See you.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.